Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we're continuing reading from the second canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 1. Today's text should be 21. Yasyam Sandharyamanayam Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampadyate Yoga Ashayam Bhadram Ikshataha Yasyam Sandharyamanayam Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampajate Yoga Ashrayang Padrama Ikshataha Yasyang Sandaryamanayam Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampajate Yoga Ashrayang Padrama Ikshataha Yasyang Sandaryamanayam Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampajate Yoga Ashrayang Padramikshataha. Please chant. Sandaryamanaya Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampajyate Yoga Ashayam Vajramikshata Yasyam Sandaryamanaya Yogino Bhakti Lakshanaha Ashu Sampajate Yoga Ashayang Padramik Shataha Vaishnavis Yasyang Sandaryamanaya So, synonyms, yasyam, by such systematic remembrance, sandharyamanayam, and thus being fixed in a habit of yoginaha, the mystics. Vakti lakshanaha, being practiced to the devotional system. Ashu, very soon. Sampadyate, attains success. Yogaha, connection by devotional service. Ashrayam, under the shelter of. Bhadram, the all good. Ikshataha, which seeing that. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under His direct shelter. Please repeat, O King, by this system of remembrance and by being fixed in the habit of seeing the all good personal conception of the Lord, one can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under His direct shelter. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Success of mystic performances is achieved only by the help of the devotional attitude. Pantheism, or the system of feeling the presence of the Almighty everywhere, is a sort of training of the mind to become accustomed to the devotional conception. And it is this devotional attitude of the mystic that makes possible the successful termination of such mystic attempts. One is not, however, elevated to such a successful status without the tinge of mixture in devotional service. The devotional atmosphere created by pantheistic vision develops into devotional service in latter days, and that is the only benefit for the impersonalist. It is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, chapter 12, text 5, that the impersonal way of self-realization is more troublesome because it reaches the goal in an indirect way. Although the impersonalist also becomes obsessed with the personal feature of the Lord after a long time. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tanamane Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatideshtarine Om Agyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishang Shapitang Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeyahang Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavangsha Shri Rupam Sagajatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbutam Tang Sajivam Shadvaitam Savadutam Purjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitangsha Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosite Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Haripriye Vancha Kopaturubhya Shah Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasati Gaur Bhaktivrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So this morning, Suvasa's reading, I think it was from the fourth canto, right? Adi Leela, yes. Yes, that's why I was thinking of fourth canto. And in that purport, Prabhupada was mentioning that the spiritual master, the guru, teaches the intricacies of Vedic knowledge to the disciple. So let us see what intricacies we can find in today's verse and purport. Prabhupada pointed out that this system of knowledge is not denied to anyone, no matter what social, economic situation they're born in, as long as they're serious to follow a bona fide spiritual master. And this is important for us to understand, because even today, still there are people with the misconception that if you're not born literally in India to a particular caste, then you're not allowed to study and teach the Vedas. Some people still think like that. Although we see that the caste system is a degraded form of Varnashram, and so degraded, Prabhupada used to quite regularly make fun that so-called Brahmana, he's got a two-piece thread. As he said this morning, it's not the thread that's important. He's wearing a two-piece thread, but he's pulling a tailor. He's so-called Brahmana, but his work to make money is pulling a tailor. Anybody know what is a tailor, everybody? If you've been to India. It's a hand-drawn cart, yes. And I just was recently reminded of that when I was in Istanbul, because in Istanbul, you still see on the street people doing that. Guys pulling heavy carts. You don't see that in America here. Everybody has a, you know, even the guys, beggars on the street, the bottle pickers, they have a bicycle with a cart attached behind it. But in Istanbul, I was reminded, you see men on the street pulling heavy carts, laboring hard. So imagine you're a so-called Brahmana, and this is what you do to make money, to make your living. So that's not really what the Brahminical system is all about. Brahmana means patan patan yajan yajan dana pratigraha. First of all, you have to learn the Vedic knowledge from a bona fide source. And then you have to teach it. Patan patan yajan yajan. You have to know what is the recommended sacrifice for the age that you're living in, and you have to know how to practice it and how to teach it to others. And if you do those four things, patan patan yajan, then dana pratigraha, then you can collect donations from the society at large. But a brahmana, a real brahmana, uses only what he needs, and then whatever excess he has, he donates also in charity, not that he only receives. So this is Brahminical culture. So here, Shukadev Goswami is continuing to instruct Maharaj Parikshit. First, he's starting out with these basic points that you should learn to see God everywhere. This is called pantheism, feeling, as Prabhupada said in the purport, the supreme in everything and everywhere. But how does that differ from what Krishna says in the sixth chapter? That for one who sees me everywhere and who sees everything in me, for him I'm never lost and he's never lost to me. Is that pantheism? What's the difference between what Krishna says in the sixth chapter and this pantheistic approach? The difference is that Krishna is saying, one who sees me. And who is Krishna? Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So if you're seeing Krishna, not just some amorphous energy or even the super soul. Because later on, as you progress from this pantheistic stage, then you get to the point, through mystic yoga processes being mentioned here, of seeing the super soul in everything and everywhere. But even higher than that is to see Krishna in everything and everywhere. So this is how we as devotees are meant, this is the vision that we're meant to develop, to see Krishna everywhere. When you're talking to the temple president, it's not just the temple president you're talking to. You're talking to Krishna, who is personally present, witnessing. And when you're speaking to the other brahmacharinis or brahmacharis in the ashram or in the van when you're traveling, you should understand that Krishna is personally present there. Krishna is personally present there. This is the difference between the pantheism that's being mentioned here and Krishna's direction to see him everywhere and see him in everything. And when we develop that vision, then Krishna is never lost to us. And we're never lost to him anyway. Krishna knows everything all the time. But he also stresses that you're never lost to me. In other words, I'm there with you through thick and thin and everything that is going to come. What he doesn't promise, and Prabhupada pointed out many times, because sometimes we also in the neophyte stage have this misconception that if I chant Hare Krishna, follow the principles, I will be walking on a golden road. Everything will be fine. Nothing will ever go wrong. And no, you're still in the material world, Prabhupada used to point out. Even on the royal road, there is possibility of danger. So Krishna himself says, Matras Parshastu Kaunteya, Sitosha Sukadukada, that yes, you're in this material world. There are going to be ups and downs. The weather's going to change. Your neighbors are going to sometimes hate you, sometimes like you. Most of the time, just be neutral. Whatever. You have to deal with it in a Krishna conscious way by seeing me in the neighbor, by seeing me in every situation, by seeing me even in the weather. Yes, Krishna is behind the vast wildfires that are burning out of control in Australia. What? How do you mean Krishna's behind? God is behind that? What kind of God is that? If he was really God, he would send rain to put it out. No, he doesn't interfere with our karma. We create this atmosphere of good and bad karma in this material world, and Krishna doesn't interfere. So whatever is happening there is karmic reaction. Everything in this material world is being generated, pushed by the three modes of material nature, and everybody's getting their just reward. Esha prasuyate jantur eka esha praliyate ekona bhunktam sukhatam eka esha shadukstritam. This is a very nice verse in the Bhagavatam that says, every living being is born alone, dies alone, and alone has to enjoy or suffer the reactions to their good and bad deeds. So we have individual karma and then we have collective karma. So what they're suffering in Australia right now is collective karma. You may want to, really their karma is that bad? Yeah, they do some really bad things, not just there, all around the world, but you know, if you see how some people make their living there, they allow herds of camels to run wild all over and eat up the bush, and then once a year they come around, they round them up with helicopters, take them to a station and kill them, and export their meat mostly to the Middle East, because the Middle Eastern people like to eat camel meat. What kind of way is that to live? You see? What kind of way is that to live? But this is how a lot of people live in the modern age. They are very proud of their advancement of technology, helicopters. But what are they using it for? To round up wild camels and kill them. So there's heavy reaction for that kind of lifestyle. Well, we should not think that it's only happening in Australia. Everywhere, and here in the United States. Yes, veganism, vegetarianism is on the rise, but still, there are so many people on a daily basis, they go to work to slaughter animals and cut them up and distribute by highways on big, big refrigerated trucks all over the country. Recently, Ratnabhushan had a visit from one of his brothers who had been a truck driver for 30-something years. He retired. Fortunately for him, his delivery was butter. He drove the same route for 30 years from Wisconsin to California, delivering butter. So not as heavy as delivering meat or something like that. So the whole modern situation is one of generating bad karma. And then they're surprised when things happen. They wonder, why is good things happening to bad people and so many bad things happen to good people? Very difficult. But these are some of the intricacies that we have to be able to explain to people. Why is it that bad things happen to so-called good people? Maybe they're not so good after all. And why so many seemingly good things happen to so many bad people? They rise in society, they have so much money at their disposal. But ultimately, we know the end result is Janma Mritu Jaravyadi. That affects everybody. You can't buy your way out of the death sentence that you already have. You cannot buy your way out of it. You cannot joke your way out of it. You cannot fake your way out of it. Everybody's controlled, ultimately. So Krishna says that, yes, I am out there. You may not be able to see me. It doesn't mean I'm not there. Mayatatamidam sarvam jagat avyaktamurtina matstani sarvabhuta nachaham teshabhashtata. Krishna says in the 9th chapter that by me in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I'm not in them. So this is, we have to explain to people, yes, you may not be able to see God. You're trying to appreciate God by this energy, this pantheistic approach that's being mentioned in the last two verses, which is good. Again, it's the beginning. But one has to go progress beyond that to understand that in every living, accompanying every living entity and every living manifestation that we see, whether it's plant or animal or fish or human or in everyone, Krishna is there guiding them, reminding them. Prabhupada said, when you may not remember your last life, but Krishna knows. So at some point he'll remind you, yes, in your last life you wanted to be a big, big musician. Okay. Learn how to play guitar again. And lo and behold, you pick it up in no time and you wonder, wow, I'm such an expert. But no, it's because you've had that desire for lifetime after lifetime. You may have been virtuoso in a previous life. I may have told a story before, but one of our god brothers, his son, very quickly picked up guitar. He was like a child and he was already like playing so, and their parents were wondering. So quickly he picked it up. Anyway, they did a past life regression with him. And it turned out, although both parents are American, the child was born in London, in England. And so in the past life regression, they found out that in his previous life, he had been a lawyer in England, and he had taken an interest in the Vedic knowledge. He had got a full set of Vedic books to the best of his ability at that time, and he was reading them, and he was also an accomplished musician. So these things carry over, but it's not that because we don't remember that it's not a fact. There's so many things from this very lifetime that we don't remember. This is another intricacy you can point out to people, because people say, I don't remember anything about a past life, I don't believe it. But there's so many things you did in childhood that you don't remember, that your parents remember. I guarantee you, when Abhay is 40, 50, although he's a special case, he may remember everything. But he may not remember some of the things that he did, especially some of the naughty things that he did. But his father will remember. I remember when he used to knock over the rubbery and spill it everywhere. And, you know, he may not remember. That doesn't mean it didn't happen. So a lack of remembering something doesn't mean it didn't happen. The parents, again, they have full experience of that. Their parents, especially mothers, they remember everything. Even when you were in the womb, they remember what kind of child you were. This one was kicking on that side and the other one was kicking on that side. You don't remember being in the womb. Does anybody here remember being in the womb? But we all know. Take it as for granted. We didn't just appear on top of a lotus flower like Lord Brahma. We took birth in the normal way, even though we don't remember the intricacies of that. So, Shukadeva Goswami again is saying that if you systematically take to this path of remembrance, remembering what? Remembering Krishna. This is what we're being trained to do. And later on in this canto, in the 8th chapter, text number 4, I think, there's a nice verse. Srinvatak shraya nitya grinatasya chateisitam kalina natagir dirgena bhagavan vishatayaridhi. That for one who's constantly nityam, srinvatak shraya nityam, for one who constantly hears the Bhagavatam with faith, srinvatak shraya grinatasya chateisitam kalina natagir dirgena. That in a very, very short kalena, period of time, very, very short, not long time, Bhagavan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, Vishate Riddhi, will become manifest in your heart. So we should take that on the strength of the Bhagavatam, that we should do, as Shukadeva Goswami is mentioning today, that take it seriously and take to this path of remembrance. And Krishna will become manifest, as it's stated in today's translation. Right? What did he say? One can very soon attain devotional service to the Lord under his direct shelter. Under his direct shelter. In the beginning, again, we may not fully be conscious of the fact that Krishna is with us and he's giving us shelter, but we are seeking shelter of our immediate connection to Krishna, the spiritual master. Prabhupada used to say, you are mine and I am Krishna's, therefore you are Krishna's. It's not that we try to become Krishna's property directly. Prabhupada said, you are mine. He was talking to his disciples. I belong to Krishna and therefore you belong to Krishna. So through the disciplic succession, through the connection to Guru, we should feel that we're under the direct shelter of Krishna. And since Krishna can give shelter to everyone and everything, then we feel secure. Samashitaye padapalava plavam mahatpadam punyasho marari. That Krishna's lotus feet are so large that they can shelter the entire mahat, the entire cosmic manifestation, not just this one little universe. The entire cosmic manifestation, which includes innumerable universes floating in the causal ocean. So Krishna's lotus feet are like a boat that we can take shelter of. And if we do take shelter of Krishna through the recommended process, then the water of this entire causal ocean, the Vaitarani River, becomes reduced to the amount of water in the hoofprint of a calf. In other words, you can easily step over it, no problem. And our destination becomes Parampadam. That our real home. Everybody's saying nowadays homelessness is such a big deal in Southern California, all over the country, but especially here. But we're all not in our real home, even if we're living in a big mansion in Beverly Hills, Brentwood, which is not safe. When the fires come, we had some fires recently. Funnily enough, they say the fires that was in the Sepulveda the past few months back, the fire was started by people in a homeless camp. And their fire drove people out of their big, big mansions. Even our basketball star, local star, what's his name? LeBron James. He lives in Brentwood. He had to leave. They all had to run away because the fire was coming close. So the homeless started a fire that drove those to have big homes out of their homes. But ultimately, we're all going to get driven out of our homes. But a big, small, whether it's a van or the Brahmacharya Ashram or big, big mansion in Brentwood, everybody's going to get taken out. Then usually what happens, we're removed and the home remains. Just like people are always fighting to protect their homeland. But the land was there since time immemorial. Sometimes you read in the news, somebody says, well, my family has been farming this land for the last 300 years. Yeah, but that land was there 3,000 years ago, 3 million years ago. Where were you? Where was your so-called family? You see, we become so attached. We're here for a few years and we become so attached to land and family and wife and all this kind of stuff. So previously, in the beginning of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami was trying to disabuse. Not that Parikshit Maharaj was so attached. Obviously, he wasn't, because in an instant he gave everything up. But Deha Patra Kala Chayadishu Atma Sainayishu Asatswapi Tesham Pramata Nidhanam Pashyanapi Napashti. Persons devoid of Atma Tattva do not inquire into the problems of life, being too much attached to the fallible soldiers like the body, children, and wife. Although sufficiently experienced, they don't see their ultimate demise. They don't see that death is coming. So this is what the Bhakti Marga is giving us, the vision to see things properly, to see that no matter what my current situation is in terms of socioeconomic situation, I am going to have to give it up, or just, as I say all the time, it'll be taken away from me. I'll be taken away from it. I'm going to be gone one of these days, and that apartment I've been living in for the last 26 years will still be there, I guarantee it, unless there's some fire or some disaster. So many other devotees lived in that building before I moved in there, and I'll be gone, and one of you will move into that apartment. And that's just the way it is in the material world. We get taken out of this situation and placed in another situation based on what we deserve, not just by what we desire. Prabhupada used to make that point a lot. If it's just by desire, then everybody would be king. Nobody would be poor, because every poor person is wishing like anything. When is the money going to come? When is the money going to come? So if it's just by desire, everybody would be wealthy. So it's not just by desire. It's by what you desire and what you deserve. Karmana Daivanaitrena, third canto. Kapiladev, Santur Dehupati, Sri Shu Pravishta Udaram, Pungsak Retha Kanashraya. This is a nutshell how things happen in the material world. By your karma, the work that you do produces results, good and bad, for you to enjoy yourself. And under the supervision of higher authorities, ultimately God Himself, Krishna, Karmana Daivanaitra, Santur Dehupati, the living entity, is given its next situation. And how? Sri Shu Pravishta Udaram, Pungsak Retha Kanashraya, that you are placed in a particle of semen in the man's body, which is injected into the womb of a mother. And depending on the mother's body, that's the kind of body you're going to get. In other words, if you're injected into a dog's body, you come out little puppy. If you're injected into the body of an ass, you come out brain. I can imitate them. Srila Prabhupada used to imitate. A cow's body, you come out a calf. Human body, come out a human child. Demigod. They don't actually come out. They come out and immediately they mature. It's stated that you can't tell the difference between children and parents on the demigod level, because they all look alike. Nobody looks old and nobody looks like a child. You're born and immediately you grow up, you're on the same level as the parents and you look exactly alike. Fresh youth until your pious credits run out, and then chinye punye martaloka vishalam, you come back down. So this is the situation. Sukadeva Goswami is instructing Maharaj Parikshit in the basics so that we can learn. It's not that Maharishi Pariksit doesn't know these things. He already knows these things. But just as Krishna used Arjuna as the via media for teaching the whole world Bhagavad Gita, so Shukadeva Goswami is instructing all of us through his relationship with his disciple, Pariksit Maharaj. And again, we are fortunate to learn all of these intricacies because we're connected with a bona fide source of knowledge. And our duty is simply to absorb all of this knowledge and pass it on as it is, not changing anything. The sum and substance is that we have to maintain meditation on the Supreme Lord so that when the last moment comes, and this is another verse that Shukadeva Goswami just recited recently, Antakale chapurusha agate gata savasha chindyat asanga shastrena sriham dehe na yichatam. That antakale, when that final moment comes, you have to be strong enough, determined enough to cut off all your attachments to this body and everything related to the body. Not so easy to do. Not so easy to do. And therefore we find out in the story of Ajamil, even though he was attached, he was fortunate that he had named his son Narayan. And therefore when he was calling out for Narayan after he saw the fierce-looking Yamadutas, he got liberation, even though he didn't mean the Supreme Narayan. So I was wondering, a lot of devotees give their sons names of devotees, just like my next-door neighbor, Ekaraji, gave his son the name Arjuna. So if he calls out Arjuna at the end of his life, where is he going to go? Is he going to go back to Godhead? Is he going to go to the original Arjuna wherever he is? Or I wonder. A lot of devotees. Even Srila Prabhupada gave disciples names of great devotees like Pariksit. We know the great ISKCON artist Pariksit. Anybody know which of these paintings on the wall he painted? Yes. That one, yeah. The Bhagavad Gita scene, that's Pariksit. So, if you name your child, your offspring, the name of a great devotee, and you remember your child at the last moment, not Krishna necessarily, because the tendency is the parents become very attached to the children. And they see them as children, even when they get old. Right? Like David Ahiti just went to visit her mother, who's in a nursing home in Florida. Her mother's 97 years old. And David is probably about my age, give or take a year or two. You think her mother is seeing her as an adult? No, she still sees her as my baby girl. You could be 60, 70, 80. If your parents are still alive, they see you as a child. You're my child. So the tendency is to become very attached. But Shukadeva Goswami is saying, you have to cut off that attachment. It may be good in general for devotees if they're raise their children to be Krishna conscious and they gave them names related to Krishna or Krishna's great devotees. But in general, one has to cut off attachment. Otherwise, that attachment will bring us back to this material world. And initially, at least, we have to have that impetus of wanting to get out of this crazy material world. Such a crazy place we're living in. People have no clue as to what life is all about. They're living on a level of animals. How do we distinguish between an animal and a human being? There's this famous verse from the Hitopadesh. Ahara nidra baya maitanam cha samayana netat pashubi samana. Dharma hitesho adhiko vishesho dharmena hina pashubi samana. This is how you tell the difference. This ahara nidra baya maitanam, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, is common to humans and animals. Same thing, same business. So how do you distinguish between a human and an animal? The human being has to have some process of religion or spirituality for elevating the consciousness. Otherwise, they remain animals. So many people say, well, yeah, we're religious. I'm a Muslim, I'm a Christian, I'm a this and that. But Prabhupada is saying many times, show me an actual Christian. I don't see one because they're not following the tenets of Christianity. So it's not just by labeling yourself. I'm born in a Christian family, therefore I'm a Christian. I'm born in a Muslim family, therefore I'm a Muslim. No. What is your actual practice? How do you live your life? What is your aspiration? That's what determines what you are, not just some label. You label yourself. There are many thieves running around labeling themselves honest people. Doesn't mean that they're honest just because they label themselves as being honest. We have to see by practically how they live. So all of this is there in Prabhupada's books, and that's why Prabhupada stressed, distribute my books. The people in general will become knowledgeable of what is life, what is the goal of life, how to attain it. And the main thing that we want to get them to do is to be attracted to the chanting of the Hare Krishna mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So Monday, we're going to go out and give them, again, remind them to chant Hare Krishna. Many of them have seen us for decades, but they're still excited when we go out. When they see us, they chant, they dance. So let us all go out and deliver this message to the public in general. Hare Krishna. Haribo. Antarashima Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai.